Crane on Hail Varsity Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Hey, top of the hour here on Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency 8 a.m. Wherever you find us, whether that's on 590 ESPN Radio here in Omaha, we are live on Twitter, we are live on YouTube, and we appreciate having you wherever you can join us. We'll be on KFOR in Lincoln starting at 9 o'clock, and let's bring in our first guest of the morning.
It seems like it because we've been laughing for 3 hours.
Yeah, and that feels like I didn't go to sleep last night, and I'm sure it feels like you didn't go to sleep.
I didn't,
either.
So it's totally fine. Hour
of the day? It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Yeah.
That'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning for me. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's bring in Mike Schaefer. He is with us now via StreamYard, so if you're watching on YouTube, you can see him there. Mike Schaefer, Nebraska football and recruiting for 24/7 Sports, at Mike J. Schaefer on Twitter. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Greatest beard in sports media. What's up, buddy? When they have an award for that for the Oscars?
I don't know that it's an Oscars award. I don't know that it's an award really anywhere, but I'd be happy to submit. So I'm going to get a beard trim today, so it'll be a lot smaller.
Will Shelby approve?
She likes the beard.
Yeah, I would assume
a
so.
Lot. Yeah,
it's
so
part of the personality.
But it's summer and it's too much. Like I gotta rein it in.
Okay.
My chin hasn't seen sunlight since 2017, so...
You're worried about getting lobstered?
Yeah, I think my face is starting to dry out, so I feel like I probably need to take some steps to prevent that from happening.
Hey, Shave, we were talking to Severe earlier on this morning, and he had mentioned how he made sausage gravy, which looked phenomenal on Twitter, but I want to go back to when you shared your pizzas earlier this week and the backlash you received.
and Shave, I mean, full disclosure, when I'm listening to or when I'm reading that thread, what I thought was absolute comedy is you couldn't care less, right? Like, you know what's coming. It's trial and error. You wouldn't even let me shame you into not eating boneless chicken wings, right? Like, you got some conviction. You're like Teflon.
Yeah, well, you understand when you post anything on social media, it opens yourself up for commentary from people who have, opinions that
who are right, right?
So, yeah. Sometimes, sure.
Just ask them. Just ask them.
Are correct. But no, I mean, we wanted to try it. Shelby really wants a pizza oven. And so it's like, well, we don't want to drop the $300 for a pizza oven at the moment. So we have seen enough posts about people attempting pizzas on the Blackstone. And we basically, I think we've eaten like four meals off of that thing out of the last 6-7 days. So
it's
we're just
kind
of on a Blackstone kick. It's basically just trying different stuff. And the pizza is really fascinating because it's trying to figure out the heat level exactly for the crust and to make sure you're like warming the toppings. Pretty difficult.
Yeah, the crust gets done in a hurry. So
yeah.
Have you ever tried one of those lids? Like one of those pan lids that you can put over?
We definitely covered it. So that's kind of like helped melt the cheese and everything on top. But it's trying to figure out like, because, we burnt the bottom a fair amount. Shelby was fine with it. She's a little more.
There's that internet again.
Kmart internet.
All right. We're waiting for it to load.
This suspense is killing me. I want to know if Shelby likes
No, he was
going
to say probably Shelby is a little more patient.
There he is.
All right. You were on when Shelby likes the dark crust.
Yes. And I was just saying, I'm not, I'm a little more particular with it. Like, I'm a little bit more high maintenance. A little bit more fancy, I suppose.
Shafe, let me ask you something, because Mr. Principal over here is struggling with the term lean into pitches. And I asked him, I said, if they don't say lean, are you okay? And I think he actually kind of is. Does that need – not getting out of the way of pitches, does that need a better definition? Or were you vibing with how that was called last night?
I was okay with it mostly because Oh, I'm blanking on the name now. It's
Charlie Fisher.
Ball hitter. He hit the Fisher. Yeah, he hit the home run the other day.
Sweet Chuck, as I like to
call
him.
Anthony Rizzo completely over the inner half of that plate.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. His stance is
set up for
that.
His elbow is in the strike zone. So even if his elbow gets hit, in my mind, it should be a strike.
Says the former Columbus Discoverer pitcher, really, Shafe? That was a ball.
I hit a lot of batters. I have a full understanding of how
you and Nebraska both.
It's tough though because he's clearly over the plate right there, but also, you know, he can stand there because he's not out of the batter's box. So like, what are you supposed to do? But I didn't have any issue with it. It was a tough game for Nebraska last night. I mean, they had opportunities to put across the second run and they just could not get that done. I actually felt like they were somewhat fortunate to even be in extra innings there. I can't remember the reliever that came in, and it felt like all three of the outs he got were just absolutely crushed. And it was Hawkins, I think.
Yeah, okay.
He comes in, and he gets three outs, and they get a move to the next inning. But it felt like in all three situations, Maryland just teed that up. So just it felt like Nebraska had to push one across in the ninth or the tenth. To put some pressure back on Maryland, and they just were not able to do that.
Now, he was fine in the zone. Like, he was pumping. I think he saw four batters, only threw 12 pitches. Like, he was right around the plate, so they were taking their yaks.
They're still outs, but, you know, that first one you thought was going to leave the yard. They zoom in on the guy running around first, and you see his reaction. Like, you can't believe he just flew out to the deepest part of center field. Even the ground out to Matthews, I felt like, was hit pretty hard, but. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like Nebraska had to push one across because Maryland's offense, it just felt like they were getting better swings. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reliever for Maryland really kind of shut Nebraska down for the most part. And for two straight games, they haven't gotten a lot of hits. They've gotten a lot of walks and a lot of guys hit by pitches. So they have a lot of traffic on the bases, but there's not like they have gotten particularly good swings. So today against Michigan State, you'd like to see that offense have a better day overall. I mean, they really haven't had – I mean, you've had two home runs and, a handful of other hits. They really haven't put the ball in play a ton over those last 2 days. So you'd like to see that change if they're going to have any chance of getting Saturday. And then Saturday is just going to be a giant, you know, you got to figure it out somehow.
Now, throw them all.
Kind of the Will Bolt way, though, to take more pitches at this point. I mean, this is what he wanted out of his team. So I think we're kind of seeing the evolution of the Nebraska offense as he would like it as he coaches. Because in the second inning when they got their first run?
Yeah.
And they did it by getting hit by a pitch, by walking, by sacrifice bunting, by hitting the ground ball.
That was a Tom Emanski inning right there.
Right.
Well, I think Dean threw 104 pitches through six and a third. Like, he was having to work.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not that they aren't having good plans up there. They just have to get better results with the actual bat. Like, if you're going to put up crooked numbers in an inning, you got to get the ball out of the infield. Like, I mean, there's no question about that. And they weren't really able to do that against Maryland.
Did it seem like on just four hits that they'd left 11 on base?
No.
Because the day before, they only had seven hits and left 12 on base, and you're like, okay, I could see that they were drawing walks.
That's what I mean, though. They're not coming through when they have guys on base. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's sequencing, sometimes it's just bad luck, but it just felt like Nebraska had to push something across in the ninth or the tenth if they were going to win that game.
Yeah, good number showed out to the Chuck yesterday. Something I brought up with Bruncy, too, yesterday had to – it was more centered around what Colorado was doing with their ticket sales. And I kind of want to ask you because you're such a
opinionated individual.
Yeah, that's a good – yeah, that's a great way to put it. I was going to say like an enthusiastic individual with
tactful.
His answers.
You're going to be tactful. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're all friends.
So Colorado obviously scared about seeing the sea of Nebraska red during their first – or during the first home game of Deion's career in Buff Country. Tickets right now, no less. I didn't check today. This was yesterday. No less than 400, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So are Nebraska fans spending the money $400? Like, are you spending $400 to go to this game? Because before it was, hey, Nebraska, you know, crashed the site. But now that they raised the price, if you're a Nebraska fan, or do you think Nebraska fans are paying that price?
Well, if you think about it, if there's the people that go to all the bowl games and they haven't had a bowl game in 6 years, they've got some extra money lying around for that. So, I mean, I guess you could kind of view it in that sense. I think some fans are going to go up there. I think that they're, you know, I'd be shocked if they don't have 40% Nebraska people there. I mean, it's other than maybe the Michigan game, it's maybe the most marquee game of the season, you know, and it's an opportunity to go out and travel to a place where you can hopefully catch a good football game and obviously have a lot of fun in Colorado. So, I mean, I think, and it's drivable. Like, you don't have to fly out there, so you can save some money in other ways. If you haven't already booked a hotel, good luck. Maybe look for a camp, you know, campground.
A place to set up your tent.
Because I think, you know, and they do that a lot in Colorado. I'll just leave that as a commentary there.
Enthusiastic.
I mean, it's a situation where I still expect about 40% Nebraska fans there. I really do. And we'll see kind of what happens with the prices. I think they want those tickets sold more than they want to enforce the idiocy of trying to keep Nebraska fans out. I mean, they got to
pay for that contract, you know, somehow.
Yeah, they want money. So, you know, we'll see if it stays at that price and how things kind of bounce around.
Hey, so Shafe, obviously with the Kalen news this week, a local guy, a quarterback nonetheless, and then you add that to a deep 2024 class. How soon will a guy that likes to actually be at games and watch high school talent to form his opinions need to schedule to see everyone in this 2024 class this fall?
I haven't even looked at the football schedule
yet. I'm shocked.
And the difficult thing for me is I know I'm going to be traveling more covering Nebraska. So, like, you have that first Thursday night, like, they're going to be in Minnesota. So I don't know that I'll be at a game that Thursday, but hopefully maybe that Friday we're back, you know, go to that. Then the next week, Colorado. So it's just kind of a early season schedule is sort of going to be a bit of a mess. But, you know, I'm planning on hitting some passing league games here at the start of June. I'll probably be at the MG camp, so I can see a couple teams that way and some players that way. You just got to get creative with it. But the goal is always to see everybody at least once during the football season that I can drive to that's a commit. So, you know, then if they end up with Carter Nelson, I'll have to figure out where I'm going to go watch Ainsworth play.
I tried to figure that out.
Games within 3 hours.
I believe we got, at least on my page, I had two different spots.
I think Kurt sent you the schedule.
Hey, real quickly, anybody that's going to make the trek to watch Carter Nelson play, make sure that the game that you're going to, you know the time of the start, because they'll play some afternoon 2:30 games.
Yes, they will.
And then, you know, I may or may not have rolled into O'Neill at like 5:45 and the game was over. That may or may not have happened. I don't know. We're just going to throw that out there as an example of something that could occur.
Those eight-man games start whenever they want.
Every detail.
Those eight-man games start whenever they want.
Hey, so
you assume Fridays mean Friday nights under the lights, but some places don't have lights.
Yep.
Who knows?
Some places it's at four.
Shafe, you like I said, and I say this all the time, at least once every month, but because you do like to watch and form opinions, how do you kind of reconcile in your head what your eyes tell you, what you've seen, versus being in the industry where you get rankings and people assess values? Like, you don't strike me as the type of guy that plays the game, but you do know your industry. How do you reconcile what's in your head that your eyes have seen versus what the composite and the numbers say?
I don't really think about the rankings. I mean, so it starts there. Like, it's not – I don't have to be involved in those conversations. I will pass along thoughts or video or whatever to Alan True and to the guys on our evaluation team. And if they choose to use it, great. If they choose not to, there's nothing I can do. I mean, there's times where I've definitely gone to bat both ways where it's been like, hey, I think we have this kid too high, or hey, you know, this kid's too low, we need to bump him up. He's going to be someone that's going to play at the Power 5 level. He needs to be higher than an 82. So, you know, it's worked both ways, but a lot of it is I don't concern myself with it a whole bunch. I mean, and I know that's not what people want to hear, but honestly, I mean, you don't want me ranking these kids because I'm not the kind of guy that what I'm watching for is almost more results, you know, oriented than it is the actual process of someone's knee bend and, you know, how much wiggle they have in their hips. I honestly can't tell you that from the sidelines. Like when I'm, and I'm one of the mouth breathers that's going to sit there and watch the ball more than I am everything else. So like, you don't want me on your evaluation team. So for me, it's a little bit more results oriented, but the same thing, it can be true. You can watch someone and get a good view of how they are athletically, even if you're not sitting there trying to evaluate them on a scale of where they rank, you know, across high school football in this state. Like, I sometimes feel like that's a pretty thankless job because what they're asked to do and what you're going to base them on are two different things.
You're the anti-Colonel Jessup. We don't want you on that wall. We don't need you on that wall. Like,
nobody wants me evaluating their play. We'll put it that way.
Shave, along the same lines of recruiting and K-line, we had a question pop up.
Kalen.
Is it Kalen or K-line?
Kalen.
I thought we settled on line.
You did.
Daniel Kalen.
Kalen.
Is it Kalen?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty sure. If we go back, I'm like
Kato Kalen, right?
I could have sworn.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Kalen.
Yes.
Does Andrew know who Kato is?
Did you follow the – no, wasn't born. You were born in 92, right?
No, 97.
Oh, Claude, have mercy. Nope. No idea about that whole OJ trial
DK,
thing.
DK, sorry for the mispronunciation, but I'll get it right.
The offense taken that he could be insinuated to be 30, 31, or 38.
Did you see how he looked at me, though? He's like, no.
I didn't go that hard,
no,
Schaefer. I didn't go that hard. Maybe I did.
No!
Hey, do you envision more successful flips like we saw with Kalen, or do you think the savviness behind the work is too tough to pull off multiple times?
I think that was a pretty specific situation. And I said this on other radio programs. I said this on our podcast. I feel like not enough credit has been given to all parties involved for making that happen.
Completely agree.
There's been this sort of whitewashing of the whole background that led up to the situation where, you know, Daniel Kalen well would have been within his rights. And I think people would have understood if you've been like, you know what, this school and this fan base has kind of passed me over three times in the last couple of years. I don't know if I need to go here, but, you know, he, to his credit, swallowed his pride a bit and you know, accepted the fact that this was the opportunity in front of him and it's what he wanted. And so I think that's pretty great. I don't know that you're going to find that everywhere. And I don't know that it's going to be as easy as it was to find someone who's just willing to admit that, you know, they weren't the number one choice at the position. So it's going to be kind of situationally dependent. I don't know that the other two committed elsewhere from the state of Nebraska, Teddy Rezac or Eric Ingerson. I don't look for them to flip.
You're not going to make up an Eric Ingerson story?
I don't believe in making up stories. That's not what we do at Husker 24/7. We report the news and the facts,
yeah,
and also some opinions.
I can tell you right now, his dad would appreciate that.
So I don't know that in state you're going to see some flips. I mean, I can see where you have some guys that committed elsewhere that they're able to get in for visits, that you get excited. You know, if they build some momentum during the season, you could see some stuff there. You could maybe see some flips in November and December. But I'm not looking for a lot of that right now. As I look at kind of the official visit list of guys coming in, it's a lot of uncommitted guys. So I don't know that it's going to be a ton of flips, but maybe this is something, you know, we kind of look at in July and you can kind of target, like, maybe these are some of the guys to watch as we head towards the season, that their interest in Nebraska could change or could exponentially grow.
How much credit do you give, you know, Nebraska for staying in the moment, right? Because the narrative was after spring, Coach Rule, hey, you know what, I'm not a portal guy. I'm not going to bring in a ton of guys. I think we're good on the offensive line. Knack obviously is on campus and he comes. But he'll tell you, Coach Rule will tell you, listen, he's a four to play four guy. So it's basically like
a high school recruit.
Correct. Right. So you can reconcile that in your head without hitting panic. Like, well, I thought he said he wasn't going to portal. Like, it's he's a four to play four guy, and he comes in with a pretty good nucleus of O-line, D-line in this 2023 class.
Yeah, I equated it to, you know, you're walking along minding your own business and you find like $5-$10 on the ground. Like that's kind of what it is. You know, it's not life changing. It's not going to change the complexity of the entire class, but you know, you found a four for four. David's losing his mind.
Yeah, he is. Found a four
for four. Your analogies kill me.
You put on an old jacket and you reach into the pocket and there's $5 or $10. Like, that's what it is.
I did find $4 in my back pocket the other day and thought, wow, all right.
You never know.
He said, it's not life-changing, but hey, you'll take it.
You never know what that money could go to. It could really help you out to something bigger someday. Like, you know, maybe you're throwing that in on an investment and then it becomes something else. But that's what Tyler Knack feels like to me. I mean, I think it's found money. I think it's, you know, no reason to be overly skeptical of it and no reason to think that it means that a fortune is along the way. But it's an opportunity to grow your offensive line room. It's someone that gives them a little bit of depth there at left tackle, which I think has kind of been precarious this whole offseason, especially with Teddy Prochazka not practicing most of the spring. You know, I love Turner Corcoran. I'm tired of seeing him at left tackle. I just don't think that fits for him. And so if you're in a situation where Prochazka, again, isn't able to get through a season, maybe Tyler Knack is in position that he can play left tackle for you. And you didn't have that previously. I mean, we were talking to Gunnar Gatula at left tackle this spring, and I think he probably needs more seasoning. So I just look at it as, you know, found money, and it's good for Nebraska to move forward. I don't know that there's much more with it.
Hey, Shafe, still about 2 minutes here, but I want to ask, we opened the week about the news coming with Kevin Warren and, you know, Tony Petitti saying that there's still more work to be done with contracts and things, and he was receiving backlash. Kevin Warren was receiving backlash for what he had put in place. You know, first off, give your reaction or even overreaction by the schools and fans. And secondly, a big piece of that deal was playing late games, primetime games in November. And I just kind of want to know, why wouldn't teams want to play, or why wouldn't that excite more programs to play a primetime November game? Are we really going to stay hung up on, like, health and travel restrictions?
I don't understand the unwillingness to play November primetime games. I mean, I would think that it's just a sort of a pact that you kind of have to make with the idea that this is part of a TV contract you're playing when those TV schedules fit. And what you're trying to do is also generate money for your institution. I mean, I don't understand it. To me, you know, as a fan, it's always great when your team is playing on, you know, Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. It feels bigger. It feels like a big deal. And we talk all the time around here about how people always want the night games at Nebraska and kind of what that sort of feels like. So I understand it gets a little colder in November, but I have just really been amazed at watching the mental gymnastics of people. You know, college football is played outside almost universally. Like, it's played in elements. Like, we don't have to pretend like it's not going to also be cold in the middle of November at noon. You know, Nebraska played in the snow at Camp Randall at an 11 a.m. kick. Like, starting the game at 6 isn't dramatically different than that, in terms of, you know, shielding people from the elements or safety or whatever else. So I don't really understand that. Beyond the rest of it, it's just kind of fun fodder of, you know, the people that dislike Kevin Warren adding to their tomato pile that they can lob at him. But he can't hurt you anymore. And ultimately, none of us really care about the TV contract besides just the details of it. But it doesn't really affect us a ton. So if they end up with slightly less money in the long haul, whatever, they came out as bandits anyways. I mean, it's there's, you know, a lot of it is just sort of getting your shots in on Kevin Warren because you're running out of time to do stuff.
That's like, right.
That's sort of what it felt like.
Pure entertainment from Mike Shafer. We
appreciate
you, man.
Fantastic, Shafe.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
More CNC after the break.